Anthony Albanese. He is the new PM. Across the ditch in Australia, Labor have seized power from Scott Morrison's coalition and bought them, really, Labor, out of the political or government wilderness over in Aussie. Mr Albanese is to be sworn in as PM later today, but it's not yet clear whether his party will have a majority in Parliament. Labor needs to win 76 seats to be able to claim a majority in the federal Parliament. Scott Morrison, meanwhile, has announced, well, he's gone. He'll be standing down as leader of the Liberal Party after what was, really, you'd have to say, a disastrous night with many former safe Liberal seats taken by independent candidates. So I discussed all of this with the ABC's Gavin Coote, and we began by asking him what Albanese's Australia is going to look like and who he is exactly.
That's the question a lot of voters were asking even during the campaign. He was a little bit of an unknown opposition leader, which is kind of funny when you think about it, because he's really been in the public arena for at least two decades. He got into the politics or the Labor movement. You know, he was even working in the Hawke and Keating governments as an advisor, but he then entered Parliament in the late 90s and was actually for a period a minister in the Rudd-Gillard government and was actually for a very brief period Deputy Prime Minister. So it's a little bit funny to think, who is this guy? But he really probably has been rather low profile. He wasn't he was seen as sort of a future Labor leader, but then Bill Shorten became the leader for some six odd years and led that party, that Labor Party, to two elections and narrowly lost both times. So there was seen to be a need for a change. And really, Anthony Albanese, he's actually from the left of the party. He's from the left faction. And I guess when he was in his uni days, you could say he was rather socialist in a way, but he has gone more to the centre now and really refined his policies, much more centrist and much more sort of small, narrow agenda, small target, if you like, because the 2019 election was seen as having too ambitious a policy for Labor. So, look, he does have some cut through. He's, I guess you could say, very authentic. He grew up in public housing from a single mother, didn't really grow up from very much at all. So he is seen as someone who understands, I guess, the struggles of people from you know, low socioeconomic backgrounds. And I guess a bit of a contrast to Scott Morrison, because he did have an image problem near the end where people felt he didn't have the empathy and that sort of, he may have had cut through if you live in somewhere like suburban Australia and people thought they understood, you know, he could talk to them, but there was a bit of an empathy problem. And I think that's something that Anthony Albanese certainly doesn't have. He's perhaps not as charismatic as some of our previous Labor leaders who've led the party to government, like Bob Hawke, Gough Whitlam, Kevin Rudd. But certainly I think you'll see maybe he might dial up the personality a bit now that he's got that kind of space to move now as Prime Minister.
Let's talk about, I guess, the other side of this. A pretty disastrous night, you'd have to say, for the Liberals and for Morrison personally. Why such a change towards the left, do you think?
It's just so interesting, because what happened is we've got a coalition Conservative government. We've had that for 9 years. That's the National Party, the junior party, which represents the regional parts of Australia, and then the Liberal Party. Now, the National Party actually performed quite well over the weekend at the election. The regional seats, they managed to hold, and it seems like we're seeing, it's almost like what we're seeing in America and the UK, where it's this rural-urban divide where the Conservative parties are actually doing quite well in places like central Queensland and regional New South Wales. So the Nationals have done quite well, but the Liberals have seen, you know, almost a wipeout, let's say. It certainly wasn't a landslide to Labor, but what's happened is the Liberals have lost, instead of losing seats to Labor, they've lost it to a bunch of independents who were basically a sort of loosely grouped group of women who effectively unseated a bunch of Liberal men. Now, these are women who represent, I guess, traditionally Liberal voting areas, but had a very strong platform around climate change, integrity, anti-corruption, and just doing politics a bit better, issues around women. Scott Morrison was seen to have a bit of a women problem. So I think we've seen in suburban and inner city Australia, there's been a real shift. If you look at a place like Melbourne, the Liberals only have one seat pretty much in the bag. They're looking at maybe a couple of others, but We're talking a city of, you know, the equal second biggest city in Australia, not even Liberal heartland anymore, and even parts of Sydney, you know, seats that were once considered really safe Liberal seats are now in the hands of independents and others that really came really close to being lost to independents. So I think there's a real going to be a real sort of soul searching going on. Many in the Liberal Party will say we actually went too far to the left and we maybe didn't perform so well in the other seats. There's a conservative wing and a more moderate wing, and the conservative wing are now going to be saying we need to take the party more to the right, whereas in the moderates are saying we've lost these heartland seats that we never really ever thought we'd lose. We need to get more ambitious on climate change. We don't quite know who's going to be the leader because Scott Morrison is going to quit as the leader. And the real contenders are, I guess the first real contender would be Peter Dutton, and he's seen as a conservative. So I certainly wouldn't see him taking the Liberal Party any further to the left, or maybe even holding this sort of centre ground that Morrison's been trying to hold. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. Does the party manage to bring it back together while they're in opposition, or does it split more? Are we going to see that fracturing that we've seen among many major parties across the West?
Yeah, you mentioned Peter Dutton. I think Kiwis certainly know who he is. In terms of what we're going to see Albanese put in place policy-wise, you would expect a fairly big shift towards, you know, environmental policy, I suppose. That's sort of been a lot of the basis of his campaigning, hasn't it?
I think that's a fair assessment. The difficulty here is that Labor also faces this quandary, or this, it's being wedged from both sides. They have to represent industrial coal mining areas, and they've just managed to hold on to a really crucial seat in the Hunter Valley in New South Wales, which is heavily coal mining, and a few other seats nearby. So they're going to have to try and hold those seats and explain to them how they can transition away from coal. I think that they might be able to do it. They were very spooked last election, but I think that we are going to see a bit of a slow march now towards something a bit more ambitious. We'll also see a shift with Albanese, more focus on things like aged care, more funding for public institutions like the ABC, where I work, but also more of a focus on education, health, the sort of areas that the Labor Party is seen to be stronger at. The thing that will be untested is that the coalition, the Liberal Party, has usually being considered the better economic manager, or they've at least fancied themselves as being the better economic manager. So the real test for Albanese is going to be whether he can, I guess, shepherd Australia through quite an uncertain time economically. We've got rising interest rates, inflation, all this global uncertainty. That's going to be his first test.
You mentioned Peter Dutton earlier as well, and obviously he'll be known to New Zealanders because of this so-called 501 policy, you know, where people are basically deported back to New Zealand even if they no longer really have any connections here. Under Anthony Albanese, are we going to see a loosening or even getting rid of those sorts of policies? What would you expect?
It's a really interesting one. They're trying to walk a fine line because, frankly, some of these policies are quite popular in crucial parts of, you know, electorally parts of Australia. So Labor has tried not to, I guess, be too wedged on this issue, and they've almost tried to sort of emulate some of the coalition's policies. That said, their language is often very different. They probably will look at these issues around temporary protection visas and things like that. I think what's going to be crucial is we were going to have a new immigration minister in Christina Keneally, who was often really the big sparring partner with Peter Dutton on these issues, and she's actually lost her seat in southwest Sydney. So it really remains unclear who is going to take that that portfolio, what the language is going to be around that. I think you're right, though. I think we will see maybe a slight shift. Labor's got to be careful. It's got to remain in the centre on these issues in a way, because I guess the Liberals can really exploit this issue. And you would have seen over the weekend, they actually, you know, talked about intercepting a boat from Sri Lanka and sent out text messages to voters, basically suggesting Labor is going to allow more people to come in illegally. So I guess we'll just have to see how they tread this really careful line.
The ABC's Gavin Coote